This podcast is brought to you by the Canadian Bureau for International Education, CBIE. Within the complex environment of international education, the CBIE podcast seeks to elevate the voice of practitioners. CBIE wants to create a space for learning where we can discover new ideas, challenge our preconceptions, and advance our internationalization efforts. The CBIE podcast is for the community, by the community. In each episode, you will hear from experts in our field as they answer your questions.
My name is Shaheen Nanji, and I'm the Executive Director of SFU International at Simon Fraser University. Our panel, the third in a three-part series, will present case studies on the university as an engine of transformation to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. Our panelists will be sharing their thoughts on the benefits and challenges of using the SDG framework in internationalization, as well as how they have mobilized their institutions for the SDG agenda. Universities have the capacity to contribute to the SDGs through research and knowledge mobilization, teaching and capacity building, institutional governance, policies and practice, and through their external engagement. One of the biggest challenges to mobilizing for the SDGs in Canadian universities has been shifting our perspective from a development one related to the Millennium Development Goals to a global post-development paradigm. At the same time, we have a shared commitment to decolonization, equity, diversity, and inclusion, and increasing interest in the societal impact of our institutions. The SDGs give us a common framework and language that can facilitate our international collaboration. The global goals are also a reflection that the traditional demarcation between domestic and international are increasingly blurred and often a false dichotomy. The global pandemic, climate change, forced migration, these are all examples of the need to have a global perspective. Our borders are porous to all these phenomena. They also point to the importance of universities to develop institutional-wide strategies for the SDGs. Universities, for the most part, have the unique position to create and mobilize knowledge and to bring together the requisite complex systems thinking through interdisciplinary, cross-sectoral, and global collaborations. This position comes with an ethical responsibility not only to turn our attention to the issues of our time, but also to chart new ways to build the resilience required for future generations to succeed. So without further ado, I'll turn it over to our speakers. Our first speaker is Professor Jonathan Grant, Professor of Public Policy at the Policy Institute of King's College in London. Jonathan's work includes research on research impact assessment, the application of research in policy and decision-making, and in understanding the social purpose of universities in the 21st century. He has served as Vice President and Vice Principal at King's College in London, overseeing the university's social responsibility and service mandate. His new book, The New Power University, The Social Purpose of Higher Education in the 21st Century, will be released in February 2021.
Thank you very, very much for inviting me in. And I really enjoyed the discussion thus far and slightly in danger of repeating a number of the points already made. But the fact that we are in violent agreement probably says something anyways. What I want to do is actually take a slightly counterintuitive position and argue that the debate we're having around the SDGs and universities is actually not about the SDGs. It's about what is the public purpose of higher education in the 21st century. And if you look at that public purpose through the lens of education, through the lens of research, and through the lens of being socially responsible, and you get that right and you deliver on that, then you will deliver on the SDGs. And I think that framing is actually quite important because at times we can confuse ourselves if we don't really focus on what our purpose is as universities. So I'm going to sort of take each of those three points and unpick them a bit further. And we've already sort of heard a lot today about COVID and the impact COVID is having on universities as well as every other sector. But I do think universities find themselves in a particular difficult situation, partly because pre-pandemic, the role of the university, at least in the sort of Anglo-West, was increasingly being questioned. And when I speak to colleagues from around the world, it is seemingly not just the Anglo-West. There's a legitimate debate about what is the purpose of university, what are universities for, and within that, are we losing, in the sort of corporate language, our license to operate? And in reflecting on this, there's a great book which Canadian colleagues may be well aware of, by a Canadian guy called John Wolstensaul. And he wrote this book in 2005 called The Collapse of Globalism. And I'm just going to read a paragraph from it, because actually I think it captures both the questioning of universities specifically, but also the times we are in and the challenges we face. And he says, what about our life in such an in-between time? I describe this as a vacuum, an interregnum between two unreasonable certainties. If we use it as a short positive moment of uncertainty, when choice is privileged, well, then it becomes possible to emerge into a less ideological and more humanitarian era. This is not an unreasonable ambition or expectation. History is filled with interregnums, some military, some religious, some political, and many of them economic. It does seem to me, with the pandemic, that we are in one of those interregnums. And I think, and I think Alex made this point, in a very sort of perverse way, that creates a massive opportunity for universities to actually readdress and redefine their public purpose, and to, through that, address the SDGs. And if you just sort of draw up a quick list, which I did this morning, we're seeing a different set of students entering into higher education, more digitally aware, digitally natives. People talk about Gen Z and Gen Z values. If you look at some data I was looking at from the UK recently, the current sort of 18-year-olds are much more preferentially likely to buy from fair trade outlets and such like. So something going on there. We're seeing this shift to online, forced, if you like, upon us, but suddenly we're delivering education in a new way. We're seeing the rise of challenge funding around research, where societal goals are increasingly more important than, if you like, what scientists think they want to investigate. So all of that says to me that not only at societal level are we living in an in-between time, but that universities are going through that in-between time. And I think, as Alex said in his keynote, the challenge for us as a sector is to exploit in a positive way this interregnum and create that positive moment of uncertainty. So moving on to my second point, so what does that really mean? And picking up on the idea of a case study at King's College London, where I work, and I recently stepped down as one of the vice principals, we've been on a journey, and I would describe it as a journey, we're not there yet, in trying to really address our social responsibility. And I was very interested in the previous speaker talking about a role at Costa Rica. I can't remember the title, but as a VP social responsibility or something like that at a university in Costa Rica. And we've done something very similar at King's, and indeed I held that role. But prior to that, we developed a new strategy. And one of the things that we identified in that strategy through consultation was to explicitly take on what we called service, sitting alongside education research as part of our academic mission. And we use the word service because our informal motto is in service of society. And what we really mean by that is about being socially responsible as an institution, include that social responsibility as part of our public purpose. And it's really important to stress this is not new. And there's a lovely quote. Now, King's, some of you may know, is an incredibly old university. It's coming up to its 200th anniversary. And in the mid-1800s, it was one of the first universities in the UK to admit women. And after that, it went on to develop evening courses for people who were workers at the time. And it didn't charge for those evening courses. And Charles Dickens actually wrote at that time, it was an opening not only of college doors, but of doors into higher life for hundreds of men who have since shown how prompt and able they were to pass over the threshold when the bolts were once closed to them. And I suspect many of the universities around on this call today have that history of being socially responsible. So if we rediscover that public purpose of social responsibility, then I think you start to get into the question about the framing of what we do as universities around the social sustainable development goals. And it gives you that framework. And Duncan Ross just talked about the Times Higher Impact Rankings. And we found them incredibly helpful at King's. And they were helpful for two reasons. One, they were helpful in sort of illustrating to my colleagues, or potentially more cynical colleagues, that pursuing this gender was worthwhile because a third party was actually assessing the impact of universities through that lens. We did well, and that really emphasized that. And the second element, which I found really helpful, was the formative element. I learned a lot by going through the process of submitting ourselves and developing a dossier, if you like, about how we were performing against the SDGs and how we were performing against other universities. And I think it's really important to stress that formative point. But with that in mind, you know, sort of my sort of aspiration for the future is that you will have a student somewhere in the world who's looking to apply to a university. And they may go on to a website and look at rankings. And they've worked out that they want to study history, say. But then they work out they want to study history at the most socially responsible institution in their market. And they go to something like the Times Higher or other such websites and choose that university because it's socially responsible. And I think when you speak to young people today, those Generation Zs, just like they go to coffee outlets, which have been kite marked as being fair trade, they may well go to universities that have some form of kite mark that says they're being socially responsible. They deliver their public purpose through that social responsibility. And in doing it, they're meeting the Sustainable Development Goals.
Thank you, Professor Grant. Our next panelist is Ambassador Miguel Ruiz Cabañas, who is currently director of the SDGs initiative at Tec de Monterrey in Mexico. The ambassador has had a distinguished career in the Foreign Service, working in the UN system as head of migratory and border affairs at the Mexican Embassy in the US, and as ambassador of Mexico in Japan and Italy, among other prestigious postings. He also has a deep and international academic career.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm really delighted to be here sharing thoughts with this very distinguished group of panelists on why and how the universities should immerse themselves in the SDG promotion agenda. Well, Tec de Monterrey is a very big institution. We have 26 campuses. We have more than 91,000 students in those 26 campuses. We have a sister university called Tec Milenio with 61,000 students. We are really a nationwide university, the largest private university in Mexico, with more than 1,100 researchers and experts in every field of knowledge. And we are working a lot in the SDGs. So last year, it was decided the establishment of a new vice president of the university in charge of inclusion, diversity, social impact, and sustainability, because Tec de Monterrey has assumed the commitment to become a completely sustainable institution by the year 2030 or the latest 2050. The 26 campuses have to transform themselves to be sustainable campuses. We have this very large and important commitment. And with this new vice presidency, just a couple of months ago, Tecnamonterrey issued a new report called Social Impact Report. They were able to map more than 760 initiatives throughout the 26 campuses that have a concrete social impact. I think this gives you an idea of how big and large is really the Tec de Monterrey in Mexico. Our initiative is focused today in 5 areas. We are just part of this very, very important and large commitment of Tec de Monterrey towards the SDGs. Within our initiative, which is part of the School of Social Sciences and Government, we are focusing in 5 areas. We are in our initiative, we are trying to mobilize all the resources of the Tec de Monterrey in 3 or 4 areas. One is education for sustainability. Second is a research for sustainability. The third one is public policies. The fourth is advising services to other actors in society. And the fifth, we are the coordinators of the SDSN network in Mexico. Let me give you a couple of examples of what we are doing in public policies. We were called by the Chamber of Deputies to develop a study on mapping the Chamber of Deputies' activities related to the SDGs, and more important, how we or they can realign national federal legislation towards the SDGs. We presented this report last month to the Chamber of Deputies, and on that basis, the Chamber of Deputies has the opportunity to reform, to update, to align all the federal laws to sustainable development and SDGs. Because we presented this report, we were called by the Senate. The Senate now has asked us to map all of the activities that all the commissions that within the Senate have related to the SDGs. We believe that when we finish this report, we will be able to promote concrete, specific legislative initiatives, either to amend or to present new proposals for new legislation aligned to the SDGs. I think this is the most important product that we have so far, because with this initiative, we will have a chance to have a national impact. We will have an impact in transforming national legislation. The second initiative I want to make reference to is a new platform. Mexico has 2,446 municipalities, and they are very diverse because Mexico is a very unequal country, the north from the center, from the south. So we are developing with associates in the international cooperation. The German Cooperation Agency is very, very supportive of this initiative. The federal government, as well as the private sector, with all of them, we are developing a new national platform for local action. With this platform, states and municipalities will be able to develop local transformation, sustainable agendas for development. This is a big, big tool that we are developing as we speak, literally, and we believe that we will finish before the end of the year. We have also other initiatives. Let me summarize because of the time. We are organizing workshops to train municipal personnel that is working in promoting sustainable development at local areas. We believe this is also very important to really provide the tools to the municipal personnel so they can develop their own transformation agendas for sustainable development. Finally, we are organizing a very first ever conference between 3 universities in Latin America, we call ourselves La Triada. This is the University of Uniandes in Colombia, in Bogota, the University of Catholic University in Chile, and with the Tec de Monterrey, we are organizing a new conference, a virtual conference will take place in November. And, the three universities have been working together for several years now, but this is going to be the first exercise the three universities working to develop a regional agenda to provide solutions for sustainable development, concrete solutions for sustainable development in Latin America. We are the three largest private universities in Latin America, and we have shared common values and common interests. And we believe that this conference may represent an important, not only a first step of collaboration among our three universities, but most importantly, to develop a more detailed agenda for development in our region. What is the role of the universities in our region? How our universities in Latin America may represent a difference on more general panorama? How we can enrich the regional agenda, and what is the role of Latin American universities developing this sustainable development agenda? Obviously, taking into account, the pandemic and the continuation of the pandemic, the economic crisis has caused in the last few months, and most likely is going to be affecting our economies next year. So with all these factors in mind, we are holding this conference in November. This, we believe, is really a very large, an important, significant effort in order to develop this regional level agenda. I can extend, for many, many other things, but I don't think I have the time in this opportunity. I will be delighted to share my thoughts with questions and comments. Thank you again for this very kind invitation to participate in this very important conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador Ruiz Cabañas. Our final speaker is Mr. John Beale, Manager of the Sustainable Development Solutions Network Canada, based at the University of Waterloo. The SDSN is a global network of education institutions working together for the SDGs. John has worked in community economic development in North America and Zambia, and also with Inuit and Métis communities in Canada.
So thank you, everyone. This has been a really great conversation today. As the other panelists have been mentioning, the SDGs have a very important role for universities and post-secondary institutions around the world. Sometimes it's not necessarily the clearest or most direct path to actually bring them into play in terms in our institutions. So I'll talk a little bit about what SDSN, Sustainable Development Solutions Network, is all about, some of the collaborations happening around the world, and then some of the kind of the markers that we see as kind of starting to drive the agenda forward with university leadership. So I'll just start SDSN. I'm the manager for SDSN Canada. We are a network looking at how to mobilize the world's universities and colleges and kind of knowledge institutions more generally around the sustainable development goals, how to take practical action, how to find solutions, how to embed the goals within the institution. We're hosted at the University of Waterloo in Canada. We represent the Canadian chapter, and as such are looking at how to do this in Canada and drive Canada forward on the SDGs. The network as a whole was founded in 2012 by this man, Jeffrey Sachs. He's a well-known economist at Columbia University. And he, in partnership with the Secretary General Ban Ki-moon at the time, was thinking about how can we get universities and colleges and post-secondary more involved in the sustainable development and then sustainable development goals when they were adopted in 2015. We were launched in Canada in May of 2018, so we're relatively new. and the University of Waterloo is our host. And since 2012, we've really seen the network grow a lot around the world. The ambassador was just mentioning being the host in SDSN Mexico, so it's fantastic to hear about the initiatives happening there. And you can see that the reach has been growing and continues to grow tremendously, which is just a reflection on the interest from post-secondary institutions that want to engage with the Sustainable Development Goals. And I have to give kudos to Duncan and his team at Times Higher Education. You know, with the rankings that have recently come out, we have seen in Canada and other conversations I've had with my counterparts around the world that has really pushed the SDG agenda front and center within institutions, within our post-secondary institutions. And we've really been able to start to see new opportunities open up because of that and interest in terms of learning and embedding into the institution. In terms of SDSN's focus, it's quite varied around educational tools, scientific modeling, and identifying policy pathways, you know, on decarbonization, bringing different scientific teams from universities around the world together to chart these pathways, working with cities to localize the SDGs, and mobilizing students. And I think as we think about ways to structure the SDGs and think about them within our institutions, we have SDSN has come up with something known as the six transformations. I don't know if you saw that. My PowerPoint seems to have just died. But the six transformations to achieve the SDGs. And these transformations really reflect on the fact that the 17 SDGs as are presented are useful as that overarching broader vision, that framework. But when we start to think about how do we actually operationalize the goals, how do we implement them within either our research groups or our institutions, we need to find a bit more depth and focus that recognizes the interconnectedness of the various goals with each other. And so these six transformations have been proposed as ways to cluster and bring the goals together in thematic ways to encourage implementation and operationalization. So I think it's useful thinking about that as we're all wondering more about, you know, bringing this into our institutions and kind of ways to structure the SDGs. In terms of in Canada, you know, briefly around three strategic pillars, we're looking at creating a research agenda for the SDGs, galvanizing support and increasing awareness, because awareness is quite low, though growing, and then creating a, you know, high quality SDG education. And then just a couple of the areas that we've been delivering on to date is the Together Ensemble conference. As the ambassador was mentioning, this is kind of leveraging the convening capacity of the University of Waterloo and our institutional university partners around Canada, holding an all of society SDG conference to say, let's have a check-in between government, business, academia, civil society. Let's have make sure everybody is at the table and presenting on progress to date that's happening, challenge areas, and charting out actions that we can take forward for the year to come. So this we had this we were planning to have this at one of our partners at the Université de Laval in May. With the pandemic, we moved it online, and we found it was really successful online. Thinking also about localizing the Sustainable Development Goals, we're developing a community of practice around what's known as voluntary local reviews, engaging municipalities and connecting and leveraging our university and college members in those municipalities to work with them to create, I guess, more structured approaches within the municipality for the SDGs, bringing that research capacity into the municipality and working with them to localize the goals, which it's been mentioned a few times. And, you know, it's a very important element of for this international agenda to have any hope of actually being achieved. We need to localize and align with local and community priorities. And then thirdly, an area that we've focused a lot on is around student engagement and mobilization. This is a picture from the University of Waterloo, and it's an SDG alliance that has been formed there. And there have been others now in Canada that have been formed. And they're really looking at how do we bring this diversity of student groups on campus together under a banner of the Sustainable Development Goals and start to interact with the administration and asking for different change with a larger voice, united under the SDGs, but also engaging other students and kind of sharing what the approach is around the SDGs and what they are and how people can be involved. You know, more generally thinking about 2020 as the start of the decade of action, you know, the time that the UN has called for accelerated action on the SDGs. And I think COVID has definitely put a little bit of a damper on that in the, you know, dealing with the health emergency of COVID. But as we think about building back better and recovery, the SDGs are even better positioned to be the guiding framework from which we can understand what does it mean to build back better? What's the vision that we're trying to achieve with that? And I think, you know, this quote from President JFK is really illustrative of the idea, and it was mentioned earlier around the SDGs as that North Star. And I think that that's a really great way to frame it. It's a common guidepost everyone can see regardless of their vantage point. And I like this quote here in terms of defining the goal more clearly and then helping people move irresistibly towards it. And I think that that's a really big value that the SDGs provide. Kind of on the bigger level, before I talk a little bit more about universities, no country in the world is on track currently to achieve the SDGs by 2030. This is an index that SDSN creates globally. And you know, you can see the Scandinavian countries are definitely leading the way, but even then, no country is on track. And in fact, in Canada, you know, we're ranked 21st this year. We're actually moving backwards on a number of key indicators, including food insecurity and energy access, renewable energy access, and household spending as a percentage of their total income. So, you know, there's lots of work to be done. The role of post-secondary, it's been mentioned, and I won't spend a lot of time here, but just to reiterate the idea that, you know, post-secondary institutions are very powerful drivers of innovation, economic development, and societal well-being, and for a number of reasons here, education, policy support, research and development. And we're starting to see journals, you know, kind of thinking about the academic world, journals calling for, you know, for themselves to become more activists. This was the Lancet editor-in-chief saying that they needed to become more activists if they're to survive. They need to seek to change the direction of society rather than passively waiting for manuscripts. And so we've been talking a little bit about the kind of fundamental changes that are happening and the redefining of the value of our institutions. And I think that this is really part of that momentum that's building that the SDGs help provide. In terms of, you know, the internationalization and how that fits in within our institutions, you know, the SDGs are a large big picture agenda with that common vision. They help really help speak to the big issues of the world or a country or a community. And I think that that is really helpful for our institutions in figuring out kind of how to connect directly with those issues. We're growing a generation of global citizens and building a generation of citizens with a common set of global values around the SDGs. And I think there's a lot of importance there. You know, the SDGs help help students frame the different problems in the world they want to contribute to and help solve, and the impacts that they can have in their careers. The SDGs reveal hidden connections within the institution that demonstrate global leadership and relevance to current and prospective students and staff. You know, these are areas that we've been discussing earlier as well. And kind of looking at that in a different lens, you know, some of the areas that our universities and colleges impact around research and education, operations and governance, external leadership, that's all reflected there. And we talk about, you know, alignment and how can we actually bring this into our institutions. And this comes from a great report from SDSN Australia and New Zealand Pacific called Getting Started with Universities and Getting Started with the SDGs in Universities, and kind of presenting this five-step plan around mapping what you're doing, building that capacity internally, identifying priorities, monitoring, evaluating. So I think that there are some great tools and resources out there to help us understand how to actually move forward with bringing this into our institutions. Thinking here, just quickly to conclude around, you know, what kind of examples are we seeing around mobilizing around the SDGs? And a great report actually just came out last week, again, led by SDSN Australia, New Zealand Pacific, with partnerships from within SDSN globally, talking about accelerating education for the SDGs in universities. And this report is full of case studies from around the world on innovative action around different areas of practice that universities have been taking for the SDGs. What this report is really trying to do is, you know, help identify why universities should engage with education for the SDGs, what steps they can take to implementation, and what it looks like from an institutional perspective. It's been mentioned earlier as well, Carnegie Mellon University, the Voluntary University Review. I want to stress, I think that this is a really important benchmark from which our institutions will be building and inspired from. This is one of the first of its kind in terms of addressing, in a more systematic, holistic view around how does our work align with the SDGs, but how do we improve coordination of sustainability around a few different areas of practice? There's lots of engagement of students within that process, and I think it's going to help be a guide for many other institutions looking to do similar things, which I'm looking forward to. And then I found this to be a really interesting case that has come up recently at the Polytechnic University of Madrid. What they established, what's called a secondary operating system, to kind of be like a connecting tissue between top-down strategic directions that the university administration was interested in around sustainability and bottom-up approaches that faculty or students might be interested in engaging with as well. And what was interesting here is it's kind of like this intermediary system that recognizes, you know, there are two-way blockages inside the internal behavior of the university, and there actually needs to be a bit more of a facilitated system to connect those different approaches. And I thought that was particularly interesting and relevant for today. Last couple slides here. The SDG Academy, wanted to make sure everyone knew about this. It's an initiative of SDSN globally. It's a bank of free online accessible SDG courses, MOOCs. But they've also created a community of practice around higher education institutions dedicated to advancing education for sustainable development and creating peer learning opportunities, sharing best practices, and actually working with universities that want to customize some of those resources for their own courses. So it's a great resource to think about. And then some of the networks out there, many of you are going to be familiar with many of these. So SDSN, I've talked about, HESI as a UN initiative is doing some excellent work, as is the Association of Commonwealth Universities around bringing the SDGs into our institutions. And the University Global Coalition is one that's emerging now and looking at engaging university presidents and executive around making commitments to the SDGs and moving them forward.
Thanks to all our panelists for that dynamic discussion. You've given us lots to think about and act upon. I also want to take a moment to thank the speakers on all three panels of this series, and also the Canadian Bureau for International Education, in particular, Ms. Larissa Bizo, Karen Delkey, and Kimberly Jean Farin. And finally, I want to acknowledge the organizing committee for this series, including Julio Sevilla and Bertil Tayong from Concordia University, Meghna Ramaswamy from Saskatchewan University, and Yukino Mori and I from Simon Fraser University.
That's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the CBIE podcast so you don't miss our next episode. If you're a member of the Canadian Bureau for International Education, please log into the Community Hub for some bonus content. Exclusive to CBIE members, the Hub is a user-friendly social network with forums managed by the lead of the Professional Learning Communities, PLCs, of CBIE. If you're not yet a member of CBIE, visit cbie.ca to learn more. See you next time!